Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Husky Nation News right here on WHUS Stores on 91.7 FM. I'm your host, Katie Service, and this is a recap of all of the news from the University of Connecticut from this past week. This broadcast is in collaboration with UConn's newspaper, The Daily Campus, and UConn's student-run television station, UCTV. Husky Nation News is a broadcast that informs the public about recent news and events within and around the UConn area. It will include original reports from the WHUS News Committee, The Daily Campus, and news packages from UCTV. We will also be discussing local and global news, what events are coming up in the Storrs Mansfield area, and provide some insight on UConn's fall athletic teams. Now, I hope everyone's midterms have been going well. I know it's been a pretty hectic week or two for everyone with all the exams and career fairs going on. So in preparation for these career fairs, there's a new professional closet pop-up that has been organized by UConn's undergraduate student government. The pop-up is in collaboration with Goodwill, UConn Brand Partnership, and the Career Center to provide articles of clothing for students during this job hunting season. The Career Center will be offering resources for students at the pop-up, providing support for those who need it. The closet opened on September 29th, as reported by WHUS news writer Alex Klenko. Through the contract with UConn Brand Partnership, the closet is located on the second floor of the bookstore and will be open to all undergraduate fee-paying students at the store's campus. The closet is following a credit system this year, where each student will get 11 credits each semester, and the credit system is as follows. 5 credits for a suit jacket or dress, 3 credits for pants or a skirt, 2 credits for a top, and 1 credit for ties and other accessories. It will be open from October 13th to October 16th and November 3rd to November 6th during the fall semester. For more information about the pop-up dates and time availability, students can visit USG's Instagram at USGUConn on their social platforms. Now, our next story comes from WHUS news writer Jack Ross, who broke the news that the annual First Night event will be canceled this year. This was announced on September 12th due to the Gamble Pavilion renovations. For those unfamiliar with First Night, it's a yearly event where students can welcome the men's and women's basketball teams for the upcoming season. Each player and coach walks out and participates in a scrimmage and three-point competition where students can get excited for the upcoming season. I don't know about everyone else in studio today, but I'm kind of bummed. But in preparation for the upcoming season, you know, there's other stuff coming out and other news that our coaches and players have been up to and what they've been up to before the start of the season in a few weeks. UConn men's basketball head coach Dan Hurley has officially released his personal memoir, Never Stop, Life, Leadership, and What It Takes to Be Great. The novel was released on September 30th, as reported by WHUS news writer Caden Knapp. Hurley co-wrote the book with Ian O'Connor, highlighting his collegiate playing and coaching career, diving deeper into his battle with anxiety and depression. During his book tour, Hurley made numerous appearances on talk shows and podcasts, including CBS Mornings, the Jim Rome podcast, the Dan Patrick Show, and others. During this launch, Hurley hosted a book talk event at the Student Union that was moderated by Molly Quarum, a former ESPN talk show host. A meet and greet followed the discussion where Hurley met fans, signed books, and took pictures. The memoir is now available at Barnes & Noble, independent bookstores, and online retailers. Now, as we get into local news, I'm going to throw the mic over to our assistant news director, Rhea Kowalski, and she's going to throw the mic back to me because at the moment, she has no voice. Rhea?
Hello. I've lost my voice, so back to Katie.
It's okay, Rio. I didn't want her to be talking all morning, so I'm going to be taking over local news. But all of this was written up by Rio herself. So the first story that she has comes from the Daily Campus from writer Daisy Vasquez Lozano regarding the ongoing locals protesting President Trump in downtown Storrs. Since March of 2025, protesters have been gathering at the corner of 195 and South Eagleville Road every Friday at 5 p.m. to protest President Trump. The protest organizer, Rike Wassenberg, who is a former UConn professor, said that she continues to gather there in order to fight for free speech and that she's also concerned about misinformation in the media. Many of the protesters there feel the same way, sharing concerns of misinformation, and agree that they need to speak out when they can. It is also worth mentioning that most of the protesters who gather are between the ages of 60 and 70 years old, with their most recent protest being on October 3rd, with 58 protesters in attendance. Next, something to look forward to with Subog, Every year is 1 ton ice cream, which traditionally happens in the spring. But don't worry, because on October 13th, from 12 to 4 in the Student Union Mall, Subog and Yukon Student Activities will be hosting a Mason Jar Sunday event. The event will feature free dairy bar ice cream, toppings, and a free Subog Mason Jar. Additionally, if you are looking for something to do this weekend, Subog is featuring ice skating at the Toscano Family Ice Forum on October 12th. Tickets are available in their bio on social media, and there will be 4 40-minute skating lessons with a maximum capacity of 50 students per session. Students will be allowed to check in 30 minutes ahead of their session, and the first session will be at 5 p.m. Now, finally, from UConn today, an announcement came that students in Bridgeport Public High School who maintain strong academic performance will receive substantial financial aid to support their academic careers if they are offered and accepted enrollment to UConn. This will be called the Bridgeport Promise Program, which is a similar program offered in New Haven, Hartford, and Waterbury to help keep talented students continuing on their college education. This program was unveiled Wednesday by Mayor Joe Ganim through Acting Superintendent of Schools Royce Avery, UConn Assistant Vice President of Enrollment Mona Lucas, UConn Director of Undergraduate Admissions Vern Granger, and other local and regional officials. The program will begin fall of 2026 for the incoming class of graduating seniors who will be joining the UConn graduating class of 2030. Qualifications include being identified by the Bridgeport Promise Program as being a finalist based on academic achievement, as well as being accepted into UConn based on their merits, and as well as submitting the free application Federal Student Aid, otherwise known as FAFSA, on time, as well as enrolling in the fall semester. Students will receive up to $5,000 per year that the university will split between both semesters yearly. This will be paired with the Bridgeport Promise Aid, which will range from $1,250 to $2,000 per academic year. And now we're going to be getting into our state and global news segment. Rhea did a phenomenal job grabbing all that news for us this week, so shout out to her. But to talk a little bit about what's going on next door in New York, New York Attorney General Letitia James was indicted on bank fraud and false statement charges in the Eastern District of Virginia yesterday. This follows President Donald Trump's public demand to charge James, according to the New York Times. The 5-page document accused James of claiming loan documents that would be used for a home she purchased in Norfolk, Virginia, as a secondary residence, using it as a rental investment property that would save her roughly $19,000. James made a statement saying, quote, "The indictment is nothing more than a continuation of the president's desperate weaponization of our justice system," end quote. These charges follow 2 weeks after the indictment of former FBI Director James B. Comey. And as more information about this indictment comes up, we will be sure to share it with you all on Husky Nation News every single Friday. All right, well, we're going to hand the mic over to sports director Vinny Carbone. Vinny, what is going on in UConn Athletics this week?
I'll tell you all about that in Carbone's Court. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Carbone's Court. I'm your host, Vinny Carbone. Another Friday, another Carbone's Court. I'm so excited. Let's start off with women's soccer like we normally do. They improved to 7-3-2 this past week as they bested Creighton with a 1-0 victory last Saturday. Everyone thought that UConn took the lead in the 65th minute of this game. However, the goal scored by Lena Dantes was disallowed and the score remained all square at zero. But then, 13 minutes later, sixth-year senior Anna Carson scored off a set piece way outside the box. It was a beautiful shot that got right over the keeper's hands and it found the back of the net. And that ended up being the winning goal for the Huskies. The UConn women's soccer team plays Marquette tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. here in stores. WHUS broadcasters Nashawn Livingston and Alex Klanko are on the call. Now over to men's soccer with a very similar record to the women's team. They sit at 7-2-3, picking up another comfortable 3-0 victory versus Creighton last Friday. Although there were 3 goal scorers in this game, 2 of which from players who have yet to record a goal in the season, the true MVP of this game was Kyle Durham, the redshirt sophomore goalkeeper. He had a sensational game between the sticks last Friday, recording 10 saves and getting his first ever assist. He picked up his 5th clean sheet of the season and was named Big East Keeper of the Week this week. Preston Alessio and Ajub Lajar both scored their first goals of the season. UConn travels to the nation's capital tomorrow night to face number 14-ranked Georgetown. And now over to UConn football. The weather is getting cold. That is football weather. And they picked up their 4th win of the season. their second blowout win of the season, beating FIU 51-10 at home last Saturday. It was the Huskies' defense that really stepped up in this one, forcing five turnovers in total, three interceptions, and two fumbles. Linebacker Brian Parham and Amir Renwick led the way with a combined 19 tackles and two forced fumbles. Joe Fagnano displaying some unreal numbers in this one, 22 for 28 passing, and he threw for 350 yards, connecting on four touchdowns. Redshirt senior Ray Mello Murphy had the game-long touchdown, scoring on a 61-yarder. UConn gets to rest this week and then travels to Mass next Saturday on the 18th to play Boston College. And now to the trivia segment of Carbone's Court. Last week we asked what year was the first ever UConn homecoming? And the correct answer was 1903. That was the first ever homecoming. That was about 122 years ago. That's a pretty long time ago. This week, our question is, so Alex Caravan is now a fifth year grad student, I believe. I think it's a fifth year. Whatever. He graduated last year with a degree. What was Alex Caravan's degree? Once again, Alex Caravan got a degree last year from UConn. What was his degree? You'll find the answer next week right here on Husky Nation News. I'll send it back over to Katie, and we can introduce our special guest.
Thank you so much, Vinny. I'm kind of stumped on that question. I thought I knew, and then I think I'm confusing other players in their majors, because I was just thinking, like, maybe computer science, but then I also thought HDFS, but I know that Paige Beckers was an HDFS major. So I think I'm just confusing all the people together. Kind of on a side note, just because we're still kind of talking about sports, I drilled myself last night to see if I knew all of the new players, and I know most of them. So I think I'm getting prepared for this basketball season.
On both teams?
Yeah, both teams.
Impressive.
I'm doing pretty good. I'm in good shape.
Impressive.
So, yeah, I'm pretty proud of myself. But anyway, enough talk about sports. Let's get into our interview segment for this week. We have a very special guest today, one of my colleagues from the news realm of things. We have Pierce Colfer from the Daily Campus. He's associate news editor. Pierce, how are you today?
I'm doing great. It's good to be here. Excited to be here.
Happy to have you here. I mean, this is what, your third time behind a microphone?
This is my third time behind the microphone. Yeah.
Wow.
Getting some experience under my belt.
Yeah, definitely getting away from the print writing all the time. We're trying to get you more involved everywhere else. But yeah, so Pierce, can you tell us a little bit about how you got involved at the Daily Campus and how you ended up becoming the associate news editor?
Sure. So when I actually came to UConn as a freshman, I was a mechanical engineering major. Big STEM guy. Mm-hmm. And I thought because of all the math that I was going to be doing in my life and all the physics and whatnot, it would be good to have some sort of writing outlet. Mm-hmm. I'm not a very creative writer, so I saw the Daily Campus, I saw that I could news write, and I thought that this would be a nice opportunity for me to just, you know, once a week, once every other week, write a little story, have some writing down. But I just ended up loving it. Like, I would go every week, I would pick up one or two stories.
Wow.
At the end of my freshman year, I applied to be a staff writer, and I was very excited when they offered me a job of staff writer. And then, kind of same thing with, you know, my sophomore year, just writing a lot for the Daily Campus. I was a staff writer. Threw in a news editor application because I was like, might as well. And then ended up getting the job, and that's why I'm here today.
You know, it's so funny you bring up the staff writer position last year, because for any of our listeners that do listen to Husky Nation every week, they're probably familiar with hearing your writing. We've talked about it a lot, especially within the past year or so on this show for our Daily Campus segments. So that's a fun little shout out for you. But yeah, that's so incredible that you kind of just like found a passion for writing. And have you since like changed your major? And like now that you're really going into the journalism side of things, you know, what does that transition look like for you going from, mechanical engineering now to, like, journalism?
So I was mechanical engineering, and then at the end of my freshman year, realized I hated it with every fiber of my being. Shout out any mechanical engineering majors who are listening, because you guys are way braver than I am. So I just changed it to math, because I like math, and I'm good at math. And then I found out from my advisor that I was on track to graduate in 3 years, and I had the option of graduating in 3 years or adding another major. And the idea of graduating in 4 years, let alone three, is already terrifying enough. So I had the option to add another major, and because of all the work I'd been doing at the Daily Campus, I decided to add journalism. Yeah. So it's been honestly a nice transition. It's nice having to take classes that don't involve me just doing math all day.
Yeah, I don't know if I could stare at numbers all day. I think that's like...
Don't worry, once you get far enough in math, very few numbers.
Is it just letters then?
That is true. Yeah.
It's very mostly true. Proofs that I'm doing now. Yep.
Okay, if you ask me, I don't think letters should be involved in math. It should just be numbers. But that's just my opinion. So can you tell us a little bit about like what your typical day looks like as an editor? I know that the Daily Campus prints, you know, every single day.
Yeah.
But what does it look like when you have stories to write but also classes to manage?
So it's nice because at the Daily Campus, and also here, we have two news editors. So I'm the associate news editor. Jenna Outcult is our news editor. Shout out, Jenna. So we alternate days of editing. But honestly, the editing in and of itself is not super difficult. You know, there's generally a ranging between 2 to 6 stories that come in every day. Editing only takes maybe 15 minutes to half an hour. You know, it's mainly just going through, looking for a lot of that AP style, seeing if there's anything that doesn't read very well. So that honestly, it's not too stressful, and it's kind of fun. I enjoy the actual editing process.
Mm.
I would say one of the bigger stresses about being the editor for the Daily Campus that I wasn't expecting is how often I have to end up writing a story on short notice.
Mm.
So it'll either be some breaking news story that we really want to get out the next day, and then me and Jenna will sit down and we'll spend, you know, 3 to 4 hours just trying to write everything we can about the story in, because that's, you know, that 3 to 4 hours is the kind of only allotted amount of time that we have. We find out, and as soon as we find out, we have to start writing. Or, you know, if stories are getting pushed, the Daily Campus, we need to print 2 news stories every day minimum. And there are some days where stories have to get pushed, and it means that me or Jenna have to pick up a news story. There was one day that we found out stories were getting pushed, and I found that out at 2 p.m., and all of our stories need to be in by 5. And so I had 3 hours to find a story, go out and interview somebody, you know, write it all down, and submit it by 5. And so that gets difficult. But we've been very fortunate, and I've been very fortunate that, you know, I have a lot of experience news writing from the past 2 years, that it gets easier to kind of be able to find and put together a story really quickly.
Yeah. How has it been, like, running around and scrambling to write stories, but, like, knowing that you have homework due that night? You know what I mean? Like, how has that balance been when you have these breaking stories that you have to get coverage on, but also have to balance, like, being a full-time student?
It's difficult. It's difficult. There, I would be lying if I said that there wasn't times where my classwork has a little bit fallen to the wayside because I've been focused on editing or focused on mm-hmm. putting together a story. But, like, you know, you manage. You time manage. You know, yeah. It's fortunate because I'm not editing every day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I edit on Mondays and Wednesdays, and Tuesdays and Thursdays are much more difficult for me in terms of classes. So it's just balancing when I'm focusing on the Daily Campus and when I'm focusing on schoolwork.
Yeah.
Just like life. You got to find a balance with mm-hmm. everything you're doing.
Yeah. Very well said. Got to find a balance with everything you're doing. I love that. So another thing that you guys do is every single week when you have to pitch your story ideas to the news section. And I don't think you've touched on this yet, but how do you find those stories to pitch? Because you mentioned before that you have so many that come in every single week. So what is that process of having to find stuff for people to write about that makes people excited to, like, write and keep writing for the Daily Campus?
It's honestly just, like, exposing yourself to as much kind of UConn information as possible. You know, there's always some obvious places to look. UConn Today is
mm-hmm.
UConn's, like, kind of where they send out some press releases and stuff like that. So you can always look on there for stories. You know, emails will get sent out about important things. You'll hear about important things on the news. But then also, it's just like, you kind of got to go look in random places.
Mm-hmm.
I scroll through the UConn Yik Yak and UConn Reddit just kind of every once in a while to see if they're talking about anything important mm-hmm. on there. And, like, that's where I saw when Wings Over closed for a week, that's where, you know, that's where I found out that they had done that, and that's when I put it on the kind of news budget which we send out to all of our staff writers.
Yeah.
Another big one is honestly just talking to people I know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are involved in all aspects of this campus, and they hear a lot of things. You know, there are people who work for these departments who will talk about something going on in their department that, you know, you realize, you know, that's something that the Daily Campus should be covering. Or I have friends who are a part of certain clubs, and they're either involved with some event that's important, or maybe they hear about something going on with Tier 2 clubs in general. So it's honestly just kind of just putting out a wide net and just always keeping your ears open to hear, because there is news kind of always around us at all times.
Mm. Yeah. And now to kind of transition a bit about how you get those stories and you write them up. When it comes to the physical paper, because I know that you guys print daily, again, in the name, the Daily Campus, mm-hmm. and they're all over the place on campus. With that being said, have you guys seen with recent years any issues with, like, viewership or anything, any declines or any increases, either with the physical copies or online? Because you guys are still printing daily, and that's something that a lot of college papers aren't able to do and keep up with. So what is that? What, from, like, your perspective, have you seen with just, like, the way that media is evolving, mm-hmm. What it looks like for a newspaper?
It's definitely an issue. And I think kind of any newspaper that still prints would echo that. You know, with the internet and with how available the internet is, it's not just that people go to the internet to get their news. It's that as soon as news happens, it's immediately online. And with newspapers, you know, the earliest we can print is the next day when we find mm-hmm. something out. And when people have already read the story 15 minutes after it broke, there's an issue in they don't really necessarily need to go pick up the paper. You know, we've definitely seen, you know, we print all over campus, and whenever we go and put out the papers the next day, we have to take all the papers that were left there,
mm-hmm.
and you know, those do unfortunately stack up. It's a difficult thing on how to approach it as well. Mm. You know, it's you know, if there was an easy solution to it, I feel like people would have solved it a while ago of how to get people to continue to pick up physical papers when we live in such a digital world.
Yeah, that's good point. Anybody else in the room got some questions?
Yeah, I'll talk about some things. One thing I just want to point out, because we talked about this with Andy and Billy when they came from USG.
Yeah. Jinx.
That was Jinx, yeah.
It's just, like, you clearly, just like this is what Andy said, you said you prioritize your job. And I think that's, like, there's one thing that is so cool about UConn, because, yeah, once in a while, your homework and your work for classes, you're gonna fall behind because you're so passionate and so, you know, into your job, which I think is just admirable. I talked about that with Andy, too. It's just an awesome thing. But as a sports guy, got to talk about the Pearlman Cup mm-hmm. just a little bit.
I was going to say, for those of you, provide some context.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know, it's an annual flag football match between the D.C. and the UCT, the D.C. and UCTV. WHUS isn't involved. They're kind of...
We're kind of like the middle.
Yeah, we're like the middle. We got some people that go either way, because most people are involved in multiple media organizations. But do you have a score prediction for this
Ooh.
Year, Pierce?
That's, score prediction.
I mean, you guys have reported on it in the past, and there's an article the next day, front page, mm-hmm. that has said everything. But do you have a score prediction for this year's game?
You're putting me on the spot.
I'll let you know the record. It's 11-0. UCTV in the last 11 years. So
yep.
Look, it's an 11 year drought, but droughts end. they gotta end at some point. Score prediction. Look, it's a new year. I'm not gonna give you a score.
Okay.
But I'm gonna give you that it's gonna be a blowout.
Oh.
Daily Campus, we're ending the drought.
Okay.
This year. And I know especially that they're going to be doing good this year, because unfortunately I can't compete then. I would absolutely blow it for us. So
I was just going to say, are you playing a game this year?
Oh, no, I'm going to be gone that weekend.
Oh, no.
No.
Hey, next year, though. Next year.
Mm. Have you played in years past?
No.
You haven't? No. Okay. Yeah.
So
I mean, you're What, next year's your senior year?
Next year's my senior
year. So you got to show out in your senior year.
I got to show out.
Yeah. As a...
What's the... Because we also do... Don't we also do one in the spring of basketball?
Yes, we do basketball.
Is that also called... What's that?
That's called the Pearlman Jam.
Pearlman Jam.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So... Yeah. I think we smoked them last year in the Pearlman Jam.
In the Pearlman Jam, correct. Yes, yes. You guys did win. Mm-hmm. That was...
Also, just for all my UCTP people listening, light banter. Love you guys.
fair.
It's all in good fun, guys.
Yeah.
All in good fun.
Yeah, certainly.
I mean, I expected you to say that DC was going to win. What are you going to say?
Wouldn't it be crazy?
Your organization? Like, yeah, no, you have to say your organization wins.
I mean, I've been hearing a lot from both teams, so, you know, I have opinions.
We're feeling good this
year. I have thoughts. You know, I definitely think there's some more confidence on the Daily Campus side, yeah. But, I mean, 11-0 record? I mean, come on, like, I don't know. I know I plan to be in attendance just to do some like
coverage.
Fun new news coverage on it through WHUS. So
I hope you'll be rooting for the right side.
Oh,
I have an alliance with my suite mates. I fear.
Oh,
what?
They live right next door.
Why am I even here?
I did make a deal. I did make a deal though. I did say to a friend of mine who is a writer at the Daily Campus. I said if you guys manage to pull off a win, manage to pull off the win. I will break my alliance with UCTV and supporting them in their 11-0 run, and I will be a DC, like, for lifer.
Wow. Yeah.
Following that for the rest of my college experience.
Get ready.
Yeah, so UCTV, y'all better be ready to to win another year, because I don't want to have to cheer for another team.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a fun game.
Oh, yeah.
Like always.
It'll be fun.
Yeah. We'll make sure that the week following... We update you all on the score if you haven't been informed yet on the winners. Yeah. But yeah, well, Pierce, thank you so much for coming on to Husky Nation this morning.
Of course.
Been great getting to chat with you and, you know, hear a bit more about another media organization on campus.
Yeah, it was great being here.
Yeah. Well, thank you all so much for tuning in this morning. Thank you to our news partners, the Daily Campus, UConn Student Newspaper, and UCTV, UConn Student Television Station. A special thank you to Ethan Smith, the creator of our theme music. I'm Katie Service.
I'm Rick Wolski.
And I'm Vinny Carpo.
And you've been listening to Husky Nation News on WHUS Stores on 91.7 FM. We will catch you next week, Husky Nation.